Hey friends, I'm Scott Hanselman. We're here at the Caribbean Developers Conference in the Dominican Republic. We're here with Cecil, myself, Phil, Andres, and we are here blessed to be speaking with this illustrious group of speakers from all over the world. Lots of cool people talking about lots of cool technology. So we thought it would be a good idea to do a little mini session on how to be an effective speaker. So I thought I would bring three of the most effective speakers that I know together. We can have this conversation.
Sure.
So I wanted to ask a couple of questions here. I think about the story arc first. Like, no matter what you're doing, you've got to figure out what story are you trying to sell.
Sure.
Not to sell, but to say. Like, what do you want the audience to come away with?
Sure.
How do you design a story arc?
Sure. Usually for me, like, there's usually like a point. Like, so when I give a presentation, like, what is the thing like I want you to learn about? What's the thing I want you to get excited about? Like, what's the thing I want you to know about?
The takeaway.
Right. Like, I'm not trying to teach you a tutorial or one by one, but like, I just want you to know about it. I want you to get really excited about it so that when you do leave the talk, you're excited enough to want to go home and try it out, to Google it, to Bing it, or to install it and just, you know, play around with it for a little bit.
Right. I think that, like, I think of myself as an edutainer. I want someone to have fun, to stay awake.
Yeah.
And then go back with like, oh wow, like that seems cool. Maybe I can apply that to my life. So
yeah.
I may not have necessarily taught them something, but I've got them excited, like a documentary.
Sure.
A documentary makes you go, wow, that's an interesting topic. I will read a book on that. Mm-hmm. How do you build your stories?
Same way as Cecil was saying, I usually start, I don't necessarily start with the story, I start with the takeaways. What is it that I want you to walk away knowing that you didn't know before, and that's gonna be applicable to what you're doing? And then I look at, okay, now that I have that idea of what I want you to take away, how do I want to get you to there?
So you work backwards from the finish line.
Yeah, and then from there, because then I start to think about, okay, what's going to keep you in the chair listening to me, right? Like, what is the story arc about that? What is the, you know, and there's, I don't know, like 7 different stories in the world, right? Different structures. So sometimes I will actually literally look up those different story arcs.
Like, you mean like the hero's journey?
Yeah, exactly.
Some way to get Skywalker in there.
Or a tragedy, like I was trying to build a step and everything went to, you know, to heck. And then like I use containers and now it all works, you know, like that sort of thing.
That's a Greek tragedy that ends with Docker at the end.
Right.
How do you build your stories on
that? Well, in my way, the way that I try to do my presentations is I go with that. What I want to learn.
What you want to learn.
What I want to learn if I were sitting in the other side. It's like sometimes we want to teach something, but probably that's not what people want to listen. It's just also looking for what they wanna see. Especially, it happens to me a lot, is that for me it's important that when you leave the room, you learn something that you wanna, as you just mentioned, is that it's not just giving a talk because it's a technology that I like.
Mm-hmm.
It's a technology that I like and I propose you to see it, and probably you will find it entertaining too. So I will try to go with those. For me, something I do, that's if I go late, I'm usually changing my presentations based on what people have done some before. For example, if I were speaking today, I would see what people were looking, what was commenting for yesterday's conferences, yesterday's talks, and I would adjust it.
Mm-hmm.
My talk, it would be the same talk, but putting some of the things that I know that people are willing to learn.
So you listen for the buzz, the thing that people are talking about, and you adjust.
That's right, that's right.
I like that it all starts with the empathy, right?
Yeah.
Like empathy for the audience that is going to be sitting there listening to us. So, and you kind of bring that out with the, you know, what would they want to learn?
Exactly. Yeah.
This is incredibly important. I would have to agree with all of you that the number one thing that you can do if you're going to be a presenter, whether you're presenting to 8 people at work during lunch or 800 at a big conference, is extreme empathy. Mm-hmm. Like, you may have been in software for 5 years, 10 years, or 20, but the audience member might have been in software for a month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Put yourself in their shoes. Come from their perspective. Your acronyms, your three-letter acronyms, your TLAs, expand them. Context, history. You may be talking to someone who's a different age, a different culture, a different language.
Yeah.
Localizing your talks.
Yeah, that's important.
To the local buzz, I like that.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've done that I think is okay, since we're in the Dominican Republic, is I've been talking to everyone ahead of time, making sure all of my jokes, my GIFs, my memes, los memes,
Los memes.
Are appropriate for this culture. Because, you know, a GIF of Neil Patrick Harris doesn't go over well in Russia or wherever, right? You've got to find out. So I localize all my talks. Localize doesn't mean translate it to Spanish, but it means with empathy, respect my audience and make sure that everything is correct.
I think another thing that I like to do, particularly with the audience, is, you know, sometimes we're going through a technology that we're just so used to. So for us, it's like second nature. Oh, I know what this is. I know what these commands are.
Bingo.
You know, and I'll just intentionally put typos as I'm typing into stuff, or add, you know, code in an exception. Because as you're doing it in the real world, like, stuff happens, right? And it always doesn't go as smoothly as it does in the marketing videos and in the blog posts and things of that nature. And so when your audience sees that, oh man, like, man, Scott made a typo, man. But you know, he was able to come back and fix it. That happens to me all the time, right? Like, I have exceptions and I type the wrong thing, and, you know, instead of Docker, I might type Rocker or something weird and obscure, right? And then like, oops, gotta go back and I gotta correct it. But ensuring that you have that human side to you. Like, I'm not a machine, I'm not perfect, I make typos, I make mistakes. Because we all do, right? And I think that just helps us connect with them so
I'm
much
known
more.
For doing that unintentionally, but now I know that it has a good
effect. It's a really good point, though. Well, the fact that you may do it unintentionally, but you recover from it.
Yes.
But Cecil and I are very similar in that we both consciously make mistakes. I'll make sometimes what look like dramatic mistakes for the purposes of education.
Right.
Because if you go and do a perfect hour and everything works, do you think it's going to work for them? No.
It's not.
So
not
I the same way. Consciously not. Make mistakes.
Yeah.
Doesn't compile, doesn't work, throw an exception.
Yeah.
And then the fun is in the debugging.
Yeah. In fact, I would say, like, you know, an important tip as a presenter is to stay calm under pressure, right? Like, when you do run into that, oh, demo fail, I've had times where I've recovered and people said, you know, that was like the best part of your talk, was watching you figure out how to recover. And that, but I've also had times where I said, hey, look, I'm going to have to move on because I don't know what's going on here, but you can follow up with me after and I'll let you know because, you know, it turned out like the network had a weird proxy issue or something.
So let's talk about that. So first thing we heard is empathy, right? So if we popped up, if we had our bullets here, we'd have empathy. That's number one. Next one is intentionality, being prepared. So we intentionally make mistakes to move the narrative forward. Yesterday I had a computer lockup. And, you know, we can joke about why it locked up or tease the operating system, but the fact is, stuff happens.
Yeah.
So I was blessed enough to have another laptop, but I'm also very prepared and very intentional. I literally pulled the laptop out, booted up, had the slide in Dropbox, opened it, continued. I think it took about 90 seconds. And folks thought that was a useful thing. I tweeted about it as a tip, and someone said, well, no, not everyone has two laptops. That's a true statement.
Yeah. Sure.
How can we be intentional, prepared, if we don't necessarily have unlimited resources?
Well, for me, I understand that you having the slides outside of your computer is the first step.
The Inga, yeah, Bingo.
If imagine that you didn't have, you had two laptops probably, and you had the slides only in the one that broke.
Yeah.
What would that happen?
Yeah.
So that's something very important. I mean, be prepared, be ready. In my case, sometimes I do presentations when I need to compile. It happened to me the other day that I updated the IDE the moment before, and I myself said, never do that.
Never update the night before.
Never update the night before. You're ready, you test it, you know that it's gonna run. Do not do any change to that computer.
Well, when I travel, especially internationally, I go to Windows Update, and I pause updates for 7 days. Never take an update within a few days of doing your job.
That's a good tip.
And that's part of being ready.
Okay. Yeah. So you said have the slides outside. That means Dropbox, OneDrive, Google, wherever, so that worst case scenario, nightmare scenario, you take it out of the audience and you say, hey, can I borrow your laptop?
Somebody borrow your laptop. Somebody can lend you a laptop.
What about internet? Internet goes down. What do you do when the internet goes down? I personally test my apps and do everything in airplane mode. So I practice on the airplane without airplane Wi-Fi.
Yep.
Because you just never know. So I always try to assume you have no internet, which is hard for a cloud demo.
Right.
Do you practice for those eventualities?
I probably should, now that you mentioned it. I had a talk once in Norway, and I remember that like, I just assumed there'd be internet connection in the room, and then go in there, there's nothing, no Wi-Fi. Luckily, a gentleman in the audience had a MiFi, and so he saved my day, because I was doing everything against GitHub, you know? And it would have been very hard, like, there is a, you know, as a GitHub employee at that time, I could have ran a local instance of it, and I would probably recommend that if you can run a local instance or an emulator or anything like
or
that.
Or even a video.
Or even, a video is a good way to
for big, important stuff, I record a screencast of anything important, and if it goes bad, I can always play the video and talk to it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, you assuming there's internet, I've also had issues where I assumed it'd be HDMI.
Yeah.
And I rolled into a conference and it was VGA. So right. Now I have a dongle for everything.
One of the things that I try to do now is, before I go to a location, I just ask the organizers, well, what's the environment that I'm walking into? Mm-hmm. Like things like, what does the screen look like? What type of plugs do I have? You know what I mean? Am I going to have like a
resolution
that I need to have? What kind of mics do I have? Mm-hmm. Right? Am I going to be able to walk around, or do I need to be stationary? So at least then, like as you're preparing to be presenting in that environment, you kind of know what you're expecting as you walk in there.
That might seem obvious after the fact, but so few people do that. Like the simple thing that you're describing, which is be prepared, ask questions, know what you're walking into. I am personally shocked, and I don't mean to put anyone on blast, but I'm shocked how many people just show up with a Mac, no dongles, no idea if they have, and they just assume it'll work. Mm-hmm. And the problem is that if it works a couple of times, then you'll assume it will work forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it 16:9 or 4:3?
Right.
Do they want PDFs? Do they have a clicker? Mm-hmm. Are you going to be? Do you even have a place to put your laptop?
Yeah.
I've had times where I'd had a little box like this, and nowhere for my mouse and nowhere for my demo.
Right.
And then suddenly you become a problem speaker because you're like, oh, can I get another table?
Or the conference might want to run the slides off their computers, and then suddenly you don't have your speaker notes available. Right.
And then you've surprised them because you say, oh, I assume that I'd be doing it on my own.
For me, the mic is very important because the way I do presentations, I like to move around because I like to be mentioned before I leave. It's like being part of the people that are listening to me. And I've been impressed in talks when I'm stationary because I have a mic.
Oh,
a mic
to type with one hand.
So be prepared. Yeah. So you ask the organizer, how am I gonna be the type of mic that I'm gonna be using? Gonna be something on the head? You know my hair. It's with my hair. There's some mics that they don't fit well.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sure.
Okay. So empathy, intentionality, and then the last one I think is personality.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to use humor. I use the term edutainment because I was a college professor and I always found professors boring, so try to lighten it up. How did you find your voices? Like how did you find your voice and decide who you wanted to be on stage?
So for me, I like to be very, like I don't think I'm a funny person.
In person
I'm just being honest, like in terms of me presenting, I like to like look at the content.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, what is it that's in here that's going to get people excited, right? Because most of the time I'm speaking to technical folks, and technology is what's exciting to them, right? And so what are the points within this journey that we're taking together that I could really like emphasize and show excitement?
Okay.
Right? So I don't really use jokes. I use like points of excitement to be like, oh, well, I really want you to pay attention to this thing. Like, oh, serverless, wow, like this is super cool. Let me show you what I built.
Right.
And then I get into the demo.
Right.
Or, oh man, like this exception happened and this is what it looks like. So now like I'm showing different types of emotion now.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm sad, I'm upset. Like, but now how do we go forward and rectify those situations or just draw attention to like those things that we're trying to look at? Yeah.
You say that you build in excitement, but when I see you present, I always feel like empowered. I feel like I come out more powerful than I did before because I didn't know that and now I know it. And you give me a sense of like, well, he just did that, I'm gonna do that now, and I have more power to go to my job or my project and make it better. Excitement makes me powerful.
Right, because I want you to look at it and be like, I can do it too.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, that's the whole goal.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'd say to add to that, I mean, I think you bring up an important point, which is that the content ultimately has to carry the talk, right? It has to be a topic that people are interested in and that they're gonna learn something. But you know, you can tank even good content if you don't, you know, at least give it a little bit of your personality.
Yeah.
You know, for some people, like I tend to have a dry sense of humor, so like I will use a little humor at the beginning and maybe 3 or 4 people out of 100 will laugh.
Yeah.
But Scott being one of them. And but then after that part, like I kind of want to really get into the story. And what I try to do is like let my enthusiasm for the topic show. And I remember being given this one piece of advice. If you feel like you're being a little bit effusive, try toning it up twice as much because the camera takes off like 50% of that, right?
Yeah.
So like, you know, be energetic, you know, go ahead and feel free to move around. And you'll feel awkward at first, but like it will look like it looks more toned down than you think in your own head.
That's a really important thing that I've learned doing I did a lot of musical theater in high school. I did a number of musicals and plays. act it up. Turn it to 11.
Yeah.
And it might seem weird to have your arms out like this. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's way too big. No, you play to the back row.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
You want them to know what's going on.
Yeah, I noticed you doing that in your talk. You know, you're like,
it works.
Yeah,
it works though.
It's great.
Sparkle fingers.
Yeah. But and you mentioned that having being energetic, and that's my personality. So for me it's simple. I just go on stage and I just be me. I just put the energy of the subject that I'm talking about. I make some jokes. I try to, like you mentioned, is like localize the joke. Mm-hmm. Because a joke that works here in DR, in Dominican Republic that we are right now, won't work in Montreal where I live, or won't work in Seattle or any other place. So because of the context. Mm-hmm.
And then you have a Montreal humor and a Seattle humor. And
you try to pick it, yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. So we have learned about audience empathy.
Yeah.
We've learned about being prepared and intentionality. Mm-hmm. And we've learned about personality.
Yep.
Some resources that we want to share with you on the back screen here is there was a talk we did called Public Speaking. We had myself, Kendra, Maria, Casey, Donovan Brown. This is up on Channel 9. You can go search for Public Speaking with any of those names and you'll find that. And then another one, if you go to speakinghacks.com, this is actually a video that I did with Rob Connery that is actually a free Pluralsight talk. I went and talked to the folks at Pluralsight. It's totally free. You don't need to sign up for Pluralsight. Yeah. It'll teach you how to be a better presenter. It's called The Art of Speaking. Thank you very much, Cecil Phillip, Phil Hack, Andres Pineda. We're here at the Caribbean Developer Conference. Why aren't you here?